China is currently the dominant global refiner of critical minerals and the world's largest producer of EV batteries and clean technologies like solar cells. But there's no doubt we have those critical minerals here in British Columbia and in Canada as well, notably copper, nickel, lithium, and cobalt. And they are the building blocks for aerospace, defense, and communications technology. They're part of the present and future when it comes to technology here and around the globe as well. Joining me now is Michael Goring, President and CEO of the Mining Association of British Columbia. Michael, welcome.
Nice to see you, Jas.
Yeah, nice to see you as well. So give me a sense, a snapshot of where the mining industry is right now in British Columbia.
Well, there's lots of excitement today with respect to mining. Critical minerals offer British Columbia really a new and generational opportunity, and it's an opportunity that is literally and figuratively right under our feet.
Mm-hmm. In regards to opening a mine, and growing up in the interior in Williams Lake, I was thinking about the Gibraltar mine, which is about half an hour, 45 minutes outside of Williams Lake. Provided a lot of jobs for folks in and around the Cariboo. I've spent a lot of time out in the Kootenays as well, a lot of mines there. How challenging, with the environmental challenges that we have and questions that we ask, and those are, I think, the right questions we have to be asking in today's society. We've got First Nations issues as well. How challenging is it to open a mine in this province today?
Well, it is challenging.
Yeah.
And the big challenge, is time and the time it takes to undertake and successfully conclude the permitting and authorizations for a mine. Mining is the most highly regulated industry in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And there's reasons for that, to ensure that it's done safely and responsibly and in a sustainable way. And it is. I would quote the current federal minister for Natural Resources Canada. And he's stated that last year at the PDAC conference in Toronto, which is a big mining conference, Minister Wilkinson said, it can't take 15 years to permit a mine in Canada.
Does it take 15 years to permit a mine in British Columbia today or in and around that?
We're in and around. We're looking at probably 11, 12, 13 years to permit a mine.
Why would somebody want to do that now if it takes 11 or 12 years? Would you not want to go to Chile? Would you not want to go to some other jurisdictions instead of this province? I know we do it well. I know we have the talent here. But 11, 12 years of spending dollars and dealing with government, dealing with consultations is significant.
It certainly is. It is a significant undertaking with lots of capital and it's high risk. But in British Columbia, we are considered a global mining jurisdiction.
Yep.
We have, lots of fantastic minerals, a good solid resource endowment.
Mm-hmm.
Mining built the province. Mm-hmm. There's 17 operating mines in BC today, 2 smelters. And, one of the best places to build a new mine is close to an existing mine because that's where the ore will be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people in the industry who are very focused on making it happen.
What are we mining out of those? I think you said 17 mines. What are we mostly mining?
Well, in British Columbia, we're Canada's largest producer of copper.
Mm-hmm.
We are the second largest producer of silver mm-hmm. in Canada, the only producer of molybdenum.
Mm-hmm.
We're Canada's largest producer of steelmaking coal.
Mm-hmm.
And we produce lots of gold and many other minerals. Actually, on the critical mineral side, Canada has a list of 31 critical minerals. We either produce or find 16 critical minerals in British Columbia.
Last time I traveled to the Kootenays to visit some mines, I think it was a tech mine many years ago, the average salary at that point was like $109,000 a year for miners. Has that changed?
It has. Mining in the province supports some 35,000 jobs.
Hmm.
And we have one of the highest average annual salaries of any industry in Canada at $124,000 per year.
$124,000 a year is the average salary for miners. Wow. And as long as you can get them up and running and you pay well.
Yeah.
In regards to, and we can talk about this during the after the break, but I just want to touch a little bit on the issue of nickel, of lithium especially. We were talking to Jeremy Cato about that. How much interest are you seeing from outside investors and people wanting to get mines built in regards to lithium and the cobalt, the copper and nickel, those sort of critical minerals we're talking about? How much interest are you seeing here in British Columbia on that?
Critical minerals has been a game changer. There's significant interest in British Columbia for critical minerals. We have, as an example, two of the top 10 largest nickel deposits in British Columbia. Nickel is commonly viewed as something you would find in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
One of these deposits is being researched by FPX Nickel, owned by FPX Nickel. And the exciting thing about FPX Nickel is they have a certain type of nickel deposit called aurite, and they're proposing to both mine this nickel and refine the nickel here in British Columbia to produce battery-grade nickel sulfate. The refining process itself, it's a value-added process,
mm-hmm.
would support some 500 to 600 jobs. And they could produce enough nickel to supply 17% of the North American battery market demand by 2030.
Just here in BC.
Just here in BC.
We are speaking to Michael Goring, President and CEO of the Mining Association of British Columbia. Let's talk a little bit about critical minerals. We've chatted at the tail end of that last segment on the issue. How much of an impact with tensions between U.S. and China? And President Biden has talked about reshoring and really focusing on the green economy. And part of it is in and around critical minerals. How much of a focus and pressure does that put on Canada and on British Columbia to really have a critical mineral strategy, focus more on developing those critical minerals?
Many Western and developed nations are looking to Canada.
Yep.
To purchase the minerals and metals that they need to advance their economy and to transition to a low-carbon future.
Mm-hmm. And you're hearing from some of those nations then?
We are indeed.
What kind of countries are we talking about?
We're talking South Korea, Germany, the United States, Japan. Heads of states from those nations have all been through Canada over the last two quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And critical minerals has been on the top of the agenda of all of those state visits.
If that is the case, when did the last mine in British Columbia open?
Well, the last mine in BC to open was the Bruce Jack Gold Mine in Northwest BC in the Tahltan Territory in 2016.
Okay.
Now, but further, the government of BC just provided Artemis Gold Blackwater Gold Mine with its Mines Act permit. So it is now in construction.
Okay.
And they're expecting first pour at some point in 2024.
So it just received it this year?
Yes, I think in February.
February of 2023, and you just said the one previous to that was 2016. So this is a huge timeline in regards to a mine being approved. It's not like something it happens once a year, twice a year. You're talking about once one is approved, it may be another 6 or 7 years before another one is approved in this country.
That's correct, but you also have to consider commodity cycles as well.
Yeah.
Right.
How much of a role, sitting here in downtown Vancouver, and a lot of these mines are not going to be in Vancouver, they're going to be in the interior, in the northwest, northeast, Kootenays, perhaps even Vancouver Island as well. How much of a role, what role do First Nations now play in regards to consultation and a mine potentially even moving forward in this province?
Well, Indigenous nations play a significant role in mining and, as a matter of fact, in any natural resource mm-hmm. industry in British Columbia. We have been talking to both levels of government about critical minerals and the need to have both governments work together to accelerate Indigenous participation in the mining industry. We don't think, public and private sector agendas in critical minerals
mm-hmm.
really aren't possible without the full participation of Indigenous nations.
Is there skepticism from First Nations communities when it comes to a mining project?
there may be some skepticism, but there is a lot of nations with significant interest in development. What they want to do, though, is they want to be at the table. They want to be able to participate. They want to be involved in decision-making. They want to feed their families just like every other British Columbian, but they want to be part of it because those mines are located on their traditional territories.
What is the biggest hindrance right now in this province of ours for mining to move forward? You know, you've got mines open, but you did say mine was approved in 2016. Another one now looks like it's moving forward. It's 2023. What are the one or two things you would like to see changed in this province to spur greater growth of the mining industry?
Jazz, we have 12 critical mineral projects in the queue.
12?
12. Copper, copper gold, copper silver, nickel, niobium, some rare earths. In order to realize the potential of those critical mineral projects, there's two things that need to happen. First, we need the provincial and federal governments to work together lockstep, as we would expect them to expedite critical mineral permitting. And second, we need to see greater support for Indigenous participation in critical mineral projects.
So that's from the province or just from different First Nations communities?
Both crowns, the provincial government and the federal government, need to work together to ensure nations have the capacity, administrative, governance, technical capacity to participate, you know, on a level playing field in a government-to-government setting. In the major mines permitting process.
Are you an optimist?
I am an optimist.
You sure?
Yeah.
This is BC after all. I just had the head of the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade complaining about $6 billion of cost being downloaded onto business. And the bottlenecks that you're dealing with, whether it be environmental or in First Nations and capacity for First Nations community, the bottlenecks are still government.
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you got to be an optimist in this game. I mean, that, you know, we are a high cost jurisdiction for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need, you know, in Canada, we're very good with aspiration.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about stuff. We should do this. The huge opportunity. It's time with critical minerals to move to implementation.
Yeah.
Right? It's time.
It's time. There you go. Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me.
This is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.